Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Infection in my ankle. It was kind of weird, and so I haven't been able to walk for quite a, like exercise stuff for. I've been kind of building back up. I've been trying to get out and do a whole lot more of that with this beautiful weather. That if it would ever change. And so I have these earbuds that I like to wear. And I kind of have a habit, you know, I kind of come in and I put them right on the bar so my wife can yell at me that that's not where they go and whatnot. And so, but that's always where I go. And I got ready to take my walk and I looked and they were gone. And I thought, well, why aren't they there? Why aren't they there? And so I began to look around and kind of retrace where I thought they might be. And I had worn them when I'd cut the grass earlier. And so I was trying to find them. They weren't there by the lawnmower. I looked all over the place. I couldn't find them. I looked in my jacket pockets and my sweater pockets because the weather's been up and down. And couldn't find them anywhere. So I decided I was going to go try to find a different pair of corded headphones and then realize my phone doesn't have a headphone jack anymore. So as I was walking by, I saw the charger station for them. And I decided, well, maybe I'll look on the charger station. How many of you think that your headphones should probably go on the charger station when they're... Is that where they should be? That's where they should be. So, of course, I opened it up, and there they were. And I began to think of this question, why do I look for things in places where I think they'll be, but not where they're supposed to be? You know, and how many times in our walk with Christ do we look for God someplace where we assume he's going to be, but he's where he said he would be? Such is the story today in our gospel text today. We've been going methodically through the gospel of Luke, and we're going to conclude today, if you'd turn with me to the gospel of Luke chapter 24. We're going to hear about two individuals on the road to Emmaus. It's a pretty wonderful account of individuals who assumed one thing, who had something in their mind that God was going to be what they thought that he was going to be rather than who he is. And I want to challenge us, just to be up front today, my goal is to challenge us that we look into God's word and we place our expectations and our understanding of God. Hey, guys, we got round two of our conversation. All right, good to see you guys. Good to see you guys. It's an important thing for us to look into God's word to find out where God lets us know to place our faith in his character and our understanding of who he is. So let's look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13, and we're going to go on forward. So that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, verse 16 is an amazing scripture. It says, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him, which begs the question, why? Okay? And he said to them, what's this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Understand, Jesus, as we talked last week, Jesus had been crucified, and Joseph of Arimathea put him in this new tomb that was cut, and women were preparing spices and coming to the tomb on the third day, and he wasn't there. They were greeted by angels with that great question saying, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. And yet they were in disbelief. Can you almost feel the setup? Because the truth is, church family, I think a lot of times I probably am like these two disciples. I'm walking on my journey and I've had events happen that haven't turned out the way that I thought they were going to turn out. And I assume that God's not in the midst. I miss Christ sometimes. And I think if we're not careful, we can miss Christ sometimes as well. I think it's something that we really need to lean into today. Going on to verse 18. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him and said, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened in these days? And he said to them, what things? I mean, this is Jesus walking with them saying, what are you talking about? You know, I'm wondering if he's kind of covering his nail-scarred hands, you know. If he's, you know, what is he doing here? And he says, look, what things? And it's one of those, remember how a good theological term, we always say, why does God ask questions? It's not to get answers. You know, and an omniscient God doesn't ask questions to get answers. He asks questions to give insight. So that we can understand. It's almost like he's saying, So tell me, what do you think happened? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet. Wait a minute. So now, just a while before, we're here, oh yes, yes, this is the Messiah. And now he has been downgraded to prophet. Right? Was he downgraded? Question. Is Jesus in your sight downgraded? You see, the problem is, it's not who Jesus is. He has always been God eternal. He always possessed, according to Philippians, he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. But he always was and he always is. The problem is not who Jesus is. It's not who God is. It's who we see. And he is so often clouded by our perception. We change our perception of the eternal, omniscient God by so many factors. Some of them is our disappointment. Some of them are our assumptions. Some of them are just crazy things that we have heard that have come in and implanted themselves in our mind, in our soul, in our spirit. You know, I was raised with a theology that, remember, I've told you this. I was told, I remember my mom telling me this all the time. God helps those who help themselves. Show me that in Scripture. As if somehow I can make myself okay in God's. We sing a song often in church. Christ is enough for me. Thank you, Jesus, that it is not up to me to fix myself. He did that fully. The work of salvation was accomplished on the cross of Calvary. That's why we celebrate that wonderful truth. And so Jesus is talking with them. He is breaking up scriptures, okay? What things? And so his followers, again, once who were convinced that he was Messiah, now they're calling him a prophet. My hope and my prayer, church family, is that we consider our view of Jesus. And we understand that Jesus isn't just who we think he is. He is who he is. Okay, and Scripture, the Bible lets us know who he is. Luke's going on to verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, I mean, listen to this. We had hoped. Why do we cast off our faith when the storm comes? Guess what, gang? The storm's going to come. The storm's going to come, but he will be faithful. During the storm is not the time to cast off our faith, cast off our confidence in who he is. He says, moreover, okay, let's go back to verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. Now, just a quick question, church family. What day did Jesus say he was going to rise from the dead? And it's now the, you know, what I found troubling in so many of our lives, in my life, are the times that I am not looking for God to be whom he says he is. When the faith comes and we try to downgrade our expectations. Gang, that's not the time to cast that off. Verse 22 says, moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, hello! In other words, there's all these evidence that Jesus is who he said he was. Who did he claim to be? God eternal. And now he's demonstrated his power. Wow, gang. He does that for us so many times. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. I mean, let's grasp what's happening here, okay? Let's grasp what's happening. Jesus said he was going to die. He's going to come back after 3 days. He died. 3 days has gone by, and some women said that they found the tomb was empty, the stone was rolled away, and angels said that he was not there, not to seek the living among the dead, that he was risen. And we're still downcast and depressed. The psalmist says, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. Church family, those of you who are streaming with us online here today, I want to encourage you to know that God will be faithful. He will fulfill. He has fulfilled every promise that he has given. And we're looking for the fulfillment of the promise of his imminent return, which I believe is soon. And that's why the pace of life is quickening up. And we need to quit playing around and get very serious with our commitment to Christ, gang. I believe that the pace of life has continued so much. Look for God to be faithful to his promise. And don't add our wishes to his promises. They wanted someone to deal with Rome, not to deal with their eternal sin problem. And so my first point today, and just got three quick thoughts for us here today. Number one is this. We can miss God all around us when we're not looking for him. In your life, are you looking for God, or are you trying to look for a way to fix yourself? Are you trying to look for the easy way out? Look for God. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they found God in the fire. Look for God. Look for God. He is always faithful to his promise. Too many Christians call the game in the third quarter. It's not over. It's not over. They thought that God was done. And he was not. He had told them over and over and over what was going to happen. Has he promised and not fulfilled? Hold on, gang. Let's go on in verse 25. And he said to them, okay, this is Christ saying, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This is a powerful scripture here. It lets us know that the Old Testament has value. And too many people are like, oh, I feel uncomfortable when I read the Old Testament. I feel uncomfortable because it's an angry God. And there's all this blood sacrifice. And there's all this wrath. How many of you are comfortable with the wrath of God? It is a false doctrine to say that there's not wrath. Jesus absorbed the full wrath of God. That is why it's such an amazing, important theological understanding to know that he was God eternal, because when he suffered the eternal wrath of God, he eternally could save from before and after. It's not something that we do by our works. It is something that Jesus did. Somebody say amen. That is the power of God Almighty. That will stand forever. And no power in hell, no lie of Satan can dissuade or change that. In Genesis, we see that, I mean, we can find Jesus in the entire Old Testament. We can look in the book of Genesis, even in the Garden of Eden, where there was a promise foretold that the seed of man would crush the head of the serpent. In Exodus, we see Jesus as the eternal Passover lamb. We can go on to Leviticus as he is the great high priest who officiates before us, before God eternally. In Numbers, he was that serpent who was lifted up on the cross that all who viewed were healed. In Deuteronomy, he's that eternal second chance God of the rock of our salvation. In Joshua, we see him as the captain of the Lord of hosts, and in Judges as the angel of the Lord. He is the grace of God extended for a covenant people who are imperfect and continue to fall. Have you read the book of Judges? It's like, come on, gang. It's like a record that skips. And that's some of our lives. Thank you, Jesus. You're the God of the second chance. We can go throughout some of the other books. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's that future king from the line of David. We can find all throughout the Psalms, he's the good shepherd who is so faithful and true, even in our times of distress. In Proverbs, he's the wisdom that crieth out. In the Song of Solomon, he's the eternal lover of our soul. In the prophets, he's a wonderful counselor, almighty God, the Prince of Peace. Gang, what a sermon that must have been. I would have loved to hear Jesus go through the entire Old Testament and reveal to them the eternal truth. Boy, I'm going to look forward to that in heaven. Chapter 24, verse 28, moving on. So they drew to the village with where they were going, and he acted as if he was going farther. I tell you what, that's been my experience, is Jesus always wants to take me a little further. But here's something we see. But they urged him strongly, saying what, gang? What'd they say? Stay with us, for it's toward the evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table, he took the bread, and he blessed, and broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures? Going on, it says, and they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they were told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Here's my second point today, and it's something that we need to learn to do better, okay? Second point is this, develop a desire for time with the Lord. In our crazy, fast-paced culture, I mean, how many of you would you categorize your life as busy? Anybody? Just slip your hand in the air if you think your life is busy. Yeah. Now, there is a good busy. There is a good busy. There really is. I mean, there's some fun things, but the bottom line is sometimes we can be so busy. We can even be so busy trying to do things for the Lord that we don't have time with the Lord. I could preach a preacher's conference on that. In fact, the majority of preacher's conference I go to, we're all talking about, burnout and all this. And you work and you work and you work and you realize, look, gang, nothing can replace your personal relationship with Jesus. Nothing can replace it. Not trying to work your own salvation, not trying to do things. Nothing can replace it. And we, gang, need to develop a desire for time with the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, church family. I didn't like broccoli as a little kid. How many of you? You're like, oh, broccoli, awesome. As a little baby, you said, yeah, that's great. You know what? I had to develop a desire. And now if I'm going through, I like broccoli. I didn't like broccoli. Now I do. Is broccoli good for you? You can develop. I do like Krispy Kremes, and I don't need to eat them. I have to not develop a desire for, and I need to stay, the hot light's on, it's like Satan going, come on, I gotta lean on that steering wheel. I gotta learn to stay, you know, so here's my point, again, not trying to get into some legalistic crazy thing, what I'm saying is this, gang, I want you to know that you can have a part in your desire, you choose what you think about. Develop a desire for time with the Lord. John Mark Comer, a pastor in Portland, kind of puts it like this. Practice the presence of God. God gives us a beautiful invitation. And he gives it the same as these individuals on the road to Emmaus. We need to learn to rest in God's presence. And I mean learn to listen to God. How many of you in the morning, you wake up, now, and again, probably I know we have a big wide age discrepancy. And so what I have found, though, is especially the younger that we get, the more the morning starts and people immediately look at their phone. First thing, especially, I mean, it's not healthy. It is not healthy. If you start your day by trying to get your bearings from the world, whether it be your news source. What happened in the 8 hours that I slept? What do I need to know now so that I can be equipped to face the day? Or worse, go to your social media site, which, you know, nothing, very, very little good happens there, gang. I'm going to tell you, it's a big, big pitfall. And I get the irony that we are broadcasting on Facebook. I get the irony of all these things. I understand that. However, understand, gang, you need to start your day getting your bearings from the Lord. We need to look and develop a desire. A New York Times columnist, Thomas Friedman, wrote a pretty in-depth article where he cited several studies about the age of, he calls this the age of accelerations that we're living in. Again, this is just a New York Times article, not putting that as it has any weight, except it's just an observation on society. And he goes on to say that the pace of technology and scientific change actually outstrips the speed of which human beings and societies can adapt. That's why we're seeing so much problem with technology now. That's why we're debating it in the halls of Congress. We're trying to understand what is going on, because here we have this technology that's moved so fast that society can't understand. And that's why horrible things happen, cyberbullying and all these things that go on online, misinformation, disinformation, blah, 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 throttling things, limiting free speech. We can go on and on. Their technology has moved faster than we as a society know how to wield it responsibly. Come on. I don't give the keys to my car to a 3-year-old and say, oh, could you park it around back? And yet that's kind of what's happened. And that's why we see people who just act foolishly out here. And that's why we as human beings have devolved in our ability to have meaningful discourse with one another respectfully. So it's a troubling thing. How many people look at their phone or their news feed or social media, their TikTok accounts, their TV news station, whatever, we awake and get our bearings from all other places, and yet God gives us this wonderful invitation: seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened, ask and it shall be given. Church family, The Bible tells us that if we would draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. That is something we can do. We can develop a desire for God. I pray that we would be countercultural in such a way. Let's get our bearings for God each day. Look at verse 36. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." So now He has made His appearance to the disciples. Remember, as He promised. But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. Come on, guys. Come on. And He said to them, "Why are you troubled?" Again, why are you? He's asking a question, not because He's seeking the answer, because He's trying to give them. "And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see. For spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, He said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and He ate before them. You know what? God being God can be troubling for us because He is beyond our expectations. Jesus blows our expectations out of the water. He literally blows our mind because of who He is and how faithful He is. And in verse 39, I'm comforted that Jesus gets our fears. He understands it. If you're like me, you're like, look, the more I know about the Lord, the more I realize I have more to learn, right? I don't have the corner of the market. I'm always going to be growing. I'm always going to be a student and praying that God would teach me just as He teaches the disciples. He would continue to open up His word through God's Spirit. He says, look, Jesus being Jesus is challenging to me, because if He is who He says He is, that means He demands. Everybody say demands. Demands. He demands my full submission to His glory. I cannot remain in charge, but rather fall on my knees in loving admiration and amazement that he is so gracious. And people get so messed up. His patience leads me. His kindness leads me to repentance. Don't they draw you as well? And yet Jesus invites us to come and to sup with him, to spend time with him, and to connect with him. And so my third point today is this. God wants to be real and relatable in our lives. He's not a distant savior. He is God eternal, who literally wants to come and sup with us, to have this intimate time of relationship with us. He is not distant and cold, as we sing in one of our songs. Even though he's the king of eternity, the creator and ruler of the universe, he invites us into a relationship and covenant with him through the blood of Jesus. How beautiful this is. Let's continue on and wrap up our text here today in verse 44. He says, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and of the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Verse 45, then he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending you the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city till you're clothed with power from on high. And wrapping up verse 50, then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them, and while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with what gang? With great joy. Come on, what did they return with? And we're continually in the temple blessing God. Here's my final point, gang. Great joy can be found in our time with God. This world's messed up. There's a whole lot of stuff around. And of every question that troubles the soul of mankind, that vexes our spirits, there is one answer. And his name is Jesus. And he invites you to have a personal relationship with him. Aren't you grateful for that, church family? Aren't you grateful for that? If you are, say amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and let's pray, gang.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.